This is Gam Chat. My name is Greg.
I'm McCoy.
And I'm Dee.
We're three Filipino gay guys trying to make sense of anything and everything in the world today. Welcome to our podcast.
So, McCoy, you ready?
Yes. So have you guys had, this past couple of weeks, have you had any epiphany, realization, or anything new you learned?
Snap. I feel like I have too many to like release.
Release, at this
current moment. Yeah, release.
Don't release them all at once. Should I go first?
Yes, please.
Because you guys seem lost.
Oh, I'm not lost. I just got to figure out how to edit this down. I'm ready to release y'all.
God dang. Okay. So, this is for you, Greg, specifically.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. It's nothing bad. So this is actually good news. The UNESCO has named Iloilo City its first creative city of gastronomy in the Philippines, and it joined six other cities, including, I don't know how to pronounce this city in South Korea. There's one in China. I don't know how to pronounce. I'm not going to try to pronounce the names because I'm just going to butcher it. So anyway, so it's the first one in the Philippines to be given that honor. And I'm really actually very happy because it's not what you would have expected. So I'm really glad.
You would expect it from my province?
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is when people always say Filipino cuisine, people always point to a very specific province, claiming it to be the culinary capital of the Philippines, which I will always dispute because Filipino food is very regional.
Correct. Yeah. So, but this is a global list?
Well, UNESCO, which is like, you know, a UN agency. I don't know what UNESCO stands for. It's like UN Agency for Education. Let me see. Let me look it up now. They have that list of like the World Heritage Sites. Okay, so it stands for the United Nations Agency for Education, Science, Culture, Communication, and Information.
Wow.
Yeah. Like they have, like for example, in the Mount, in, oh, I don't know which province it would be, Banaue, Ifugao. You know, the people there, when they harvest or when they plant, they do this chanting, this hudhud. So they name that as, I forget what they named it, but it's like a living cultural heritage something. And because they see value in it, and it's, you know, they're trying to preserve it.
Wow, and Iloilo represented. I'm sure they're my cousins that are part of that.
Who? I mean, of what?
From Iloilo.
Oh,
they were just like there, you know, like it's my people.
Of course, that's why. I thought you'd be glad for it. Yes,
I am,
and I'm very curious.
What's the description of the list that they made it into again?
Creative city of gastronomy.
Is there like specific
criteria?
Yeah, like I wonder, like how they made it. What is it that they presented them that brought them onto that list?
I don't know, because maybe it's unique. You don't really find Pancit Molo in other places. I mean, you may, but that's where it came from. And Lapas Bachoy is from Ilonggo. Is from Ilonggo.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. What specialties do they have? Because I don't know much.
Well, here's the list. To be approved as City of Gastronomy, cities need to meet a number of criteria set by UNESCO. Well-developed gastronomy that's characteristics of the urban center and or region, vibrant gastronomy community, and numerous traditional restaurants, indigenous ingredients used in traditional cooking, local know-how, traditional culinary practices and methods of cooking that have survived industrial and technological advancement, traditional food markets and traditional food industry, tradition of hosting gastronomic festivals, awards, contests, and other broadly targeted means of recognition, respect for the environment and promotion of sustainable local products, nurturing of public appreciation, promotion of nutrition in education institution. So that's just education stuff. Yeah, I think those are the main things. Yeah, they're all over.
That's cool. Yeah, I don't know when you say you guys name the dishes that they're known for. Like those are the first time I'm hearing that. That's actually like the origin really? Of those dishes. Yeah.
Ah. Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, La Paz Bacio is from La Paz. I think it's a district in Iloilo City, right? And I think Molo, Pancit Molo, it's all Molo is actually a district also in Iloilo. So even with the city, they have districts have their own specialized things. Am I right, Greg? Or am I just making that up?
No, you're right.
Yeah.
And I have Pancit Molo every year. It's a big tradition in my family, actually, for New Year's.
And I'm glad that you guys are keeping that.
Is it because it's like meatballs? Or what is it?
Excuse me? Is it meatballs?
What are they? Oh, I'm thinking of
those.
No. What
is
it? Like, what is it in a pancit molo? That's what I'm like lost about.
Oh my God, he was so triggered.
Well, because you said New Year's, I'm thinking, okay, is it meatballs? That's why it's like round New Year's. Like, what is like the
He was so insulted by your description.
I was. Because every year when it hits midnight, we have these parties every year.
Okay.
And then so we would have this pancit molo, which is a soup dish. It kind of reminds me of like dumplings, but it's not. It's like they wrap the meat around these nice, what's it? I don't know.
Wrapper?
The big noodles, the big fat noodles.
Oh, that's what it is? Oh, it looks like dumplings when you look at it from afar.
Yeah, it looks like dumplings, yeah. Yeah. And then it's just so good. But we can't eat it until it hits midnight, though. But once it hits midnight, all the aunties like lay out all the soup, the bowls of soup for everyone to just come by and grab their pancit molo.
Wait, is it like watery soup, like?
Yes.
What is that?
Not like thick like a chowder, right?
Miswa?
I guess it would be, for us who doesn't know it,
yeah.
It would probably kind of look like that. But I think miswa has thin
noodles.
Glass noodles.
Yeah.
I think the way he describes it is it's thicker. So it's bigger noodles.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, it's big fat noodles.
See, I'm like learning the difference right now. Like, I don't know why my brain never clicked to understand the difference. The different type of pancits there are. Like,
actually,
how palabok is like pancit palabok, but it's not.
It's different from pancit malabon.
Yes, but I thought that's like, yes, palabok as well. So it was like, you know.
No. Actually, there's a list. If you just Wikipedia list of pancit, and almost every town have their own pancit. Like, you know, my sister-in-law, she comes from a town in Cavite, and their pancit, they use squid ink, and they use shredded papaya as the noodles, which is like, for us who doesn't know it, that's kind of strange. But, you know, that's the thing.
It's kind of like the spaghetti squash that we have here.
Yes, I guess.
Right?
Yes.
It's a spaghetti, but it's not pancit. Yeah. There you go. It's the same thing. Yeah.
But I'm very glad. I'm very glad that the Philippines got this recognition, specifically Iloilo City, because I think it's always, not always, but it's overshadowed by the bigger cities in the region where it is located.
Yeah, what up, my people? Iloilo in the house. I need to stop doing that.
So how about you guys?
Well, like, that was your epiphany? Is that what you're talking about when you asked the question?
No, that's something I learned. And I was so glad. I was glad for it.
Oh, I thought your question was like, what was your epiphany in the past few weeks?
Or something you learned in the past couple
of weeks. Oh, gosh. Do you want to go next? Why I find my epiphanies?
You know what? This is going to be related to the topic that we're going to discuss. But just to briefly kind of... I went out last night for dinner, and I'm at that age where I'm like, oh, okay, we're going to dinner. 6 o'clock it is. But the place that we want to go to was one of those things that, like, it was like, what? The earliest available is 9:30. So, like, me and Amado, like, fucking took a nap before going out, and we went with our friend Jess. So you guys have met her. They're celebrating their 1 year wedding anniversary today. So last night we went out. We went to Major Domo, and for some reason there was like a rave next to the parking lot to Major Domo in downtown. If you guys have gone there, and Amado, like, he rolled down the window. There was like this whole hoopla about parking. And like, you know, we were asking questions. We were getting directed to like different places. And like, I just found myself like, oh my God, can you roll out the window? The music is so loud. I'm getting a headache. And I'm just like, at that age, we're like, what has become... You know, like...
You're like, get off my lawn.
Yes, exactly. I'm almost there. Which, actually, now that I think about it, I almost did last week. Because someone was just sitting in front of our... like, the sidewalk in front of our house. Like,
D, you've officially entered the Karen age. Your Karen era of life. Yeah, like...
It was like... As much as possible, I was like, I'm going to stay up. Like I was able to hang until midnight. And then, like, on the way home, I'm just like, oh, my God. That's like, that just took a lot out of me to just do that. Even though the food was great, company was great. But, like, a 9:30 reservation, Lord. It's like I had to, like, prepare the entire day. I'm like, okay, I'm going to eat breakfast. But I can't eat, like, you know, spread apart. Like, I have to snack in between and then nap. I'm like, oh, my God. I don't know how I survived.
I don't know why that happens. You know that commercial that we have? It's like you turn into your parents. It's like an insurance company, I think.
Yes, yes.
I find that so hilarious because it's so true. Yeah, I don't know. Your priorities change, I guess. Sleep is life kind of thing.
Sleep is life. Well, speaking of food and your story, D, I went to New York for a few days for a weekend with my high school friends. Friends I've known since, like, I don't know, preschool, pretty much, or third grade. It was like six of us. We went to New York to visit our other friend. And we did nothing but eat at restaurants. And there was a few of them that we couldn't get a seat until like 10 p.m.
Oh, Lord.
Because I know. I was like, oh, but it's a great restaurant. It's really good. But I was like, oh my God, 10 p.m. And then we ate again one time at like 11 or something like that. And I was like, oh my God, I can't do this. Because I actually like to eat early. I'm like... Ooh, like 5 o'clock?
You're like
6 o'clock?
Like Coco Senior time. It's like,
ow, Coco Senior time. I'm gonna slap you. First you called my punch set Molo meatballs, and now you're saying I'm Coco? Oh, hell no. But okay, so I'm on this trip, right? I go to New York for like a few days. We go to these great restaurants. We had a plan that every time we go to a good restaurant, we'll celebrate someone's birthday because we see each other like what, once a year almost. So we have dinner, it's this person's birthday. We go to another dinner the next day, it's this person's birthday, lunch, blah blah blah. But two of my friends, one specifically, found her, how do you say, her. Because we all went to Catholic school, and she got, I don't know, indoctrinated into Catholic Church again, like fresh and new.
She found her religion.
Again. And I feel like learning your religion as an adult is slightly different. So anyhow, so we were doing the itinerary, and I looked at it. I was like, why does church show up twice in one weekend? She wanted to go to Mass twice. In one weekend, I was like, oh, hell no, I'm not going to do that.
Well, where are the churches? Which churches are we talking about?
Just some random-ass churches in New York.
Oh, no, at least if it's like the big one and on Fifth Avenue, it's like, I can understand.
Yeah, but I mean, she was fine with us not going, because I was like, yeah, I'm not going to go. Like, you, like, peace out, like, I'm good. But here's what else happened. Every time I would say something like, oh, Jesus H. Christ, or like, God damn it, like, you know, like, just for fun.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. She was like, that's blasphemy, Greg. Da-da-da-da-da. I was like, wait, are you serious? Are you joking? Because, she was, you're taking God's name in vain. I'm like, what are we, like, third graders again, where they think, like, God's name in vain is by saying the name of God in a sentence? Like, that's not what... That's not what they meant. But she was like, oh, and then she started telling me like the different types of sin.
Oh my God.
I was like, oh. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I was like, Jesus Christ.
What a way to ruin a New York City experience.
I know. We're supposed to be drinking and do all these bad things. And we know.
Oh, did she drink?
No, she didn't actually. She was.
Oh, okay. Give her credit for that.
But she did wear wool. So I think that's one of the things you can't wear wool or something, right?
What?
No, wool. She wore wool.
What do you mean you can't?
There's something in the Bible. There's some kind of like thread or you can't wear something in there.
Oh, Greg, you know you only choose the verses that you can use against your people you don't like. That's how the Bible works. Stop it.
It's so ridiculous. And so, and I was like, all right. And then she was even reading books in the room about her Catholic faith, about saints.
Is she reading it out loud?
No, but
oh, that's fine.
But I was like, all right, that's fine. I was like, oh, and then I was like, yeah, Greg, this is a really good book. I was like, what is it about? She's like, it's about these female saints. So I was like, okay, that's empowering. All right, woman power. She asked about these women saints who are doctors. I was like, oh, doctors. Okay, maybe I should share this book with my mom. And she was like, no, it's not about medical. They're not medical doctors, Greg. And I was like, well, what kind of fucking doctors are they? She's like, they're the doctors of the church. I was like, what the fuck? Like, no.
How are they doctors and what do they treat?
I don't even know. She didn't. I was asked her, I was like, so they have a PhD in, I don't know, church or something? She's like, no. But like, well, I don't know. It was too confusing. I was just like.
So who gave them the title?
I don't know. She wouldn't tell me because I was like confused. I was like. They ain't doctors?
I mean, just to kind of bring it down a bit, I think you probably need to check into her because she's going through a lot. It's kind of like when my mom was going through something and she was following this, what do you call those, McCoy? Like the miracles of like the dancing sun.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. I need to talk about.
Where she just got all really, really churchy. Well, no, is that apparitions?
Something like that, yes.
Is that what you call it? Yeah. It was kind of like when someone is going through something really, really heavy and they rely, it's either like, let's go the exact opposite of like binge drinking and all this, like, or you could go the other way of like just really gung-ho about like Jesus.
Jesus H. Christ.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yes, no, there is.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. Wait,
what is H in the Jesus H. Christ?
Henry,
duh.
That's his middle name?
Yeah. I knew that was Henry. Shit. This is blasphemy. But here's the epiphany part. So actually telling me the story about just telling me about the Catholic faith as an adult hearing it, I'm like, holy shit. Like, it really made me question everything.
In what way?
I was like, why did it, like, because growing up learning about Catholicism, they didn't talk about all this like scary stuff, really. So, I mean, they did, you know, the Book of Revelation.
Revelation, is that the song, right?
Yeah. And then, you know, they'll tell you that stuff, and you know, but at the same time, you're a kid and you don't really get attached to it, or like you don't take it serious.
Your mind is
but
not
to see
full.
As an adult. And then see someone tell you as an adult, like, how serious these sins are and da-da-da-da. I was like, yo, that's intense. And I was like, I don't know if I'm... I told my mom this straight up. I was like, listen, Mom. My homegirl was talking about the Catholic faith. It scared the shit out of you, Mom. And I don't know if I want to go to church ever again. She's like, oh, you know those other people.
You would know the foundation of, like, what's wrong and right as an adult already. But, like, to kind of just, like, shove that to your face with, like, with a Bible as a guide, which not everyone follows anyway, like you mentioned. It's just, like, it's a weird thing to experience.
Well, the thing is that I think what your friend was doing was trying to scare you in not doing the wrong things instead of inspiring you to do the right things. And I don't like that. I don't like that way. It's like, don't scare me in not doing shit. You should inspire me in being a more positive influence to the people around me and to myself. You know, like, you don't do this because this will happen. It's like, come on.
Yeah, no, 100%. So, long story short, going back to your question, McCoy, that was an epiphany. I was like, huh, what the hell? So, instead of going to church, I went to the Korean spa, got butt naked, and had a Korean woman give me a body scrub fully naked.
Wait. Is that a... Wait. Is that the way it's supposed to be? Like,
Yes. Oh, okay. You guys never got a body scrub at a Korean spa before?
No, not from a lady at
least. That's the rough one with no soap or lather, right? They're just really like scraping the dead skin off your like body, like head to toe.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. I mean, they do put some kind of moisture on you or some kind of like lotion on you, really. But for the most part, it's like a hard, deep scrub. And I got to say, it's like, it is, wow, like, the room would look like a little surgical room with like a bed and like for a bucket of water. And she was like, get butt naked and just start scrubbing you. I'm talking about everywhere.
Oh my God.
Everywhere. I was like, okay, I guess this is better than church. No complaints. And my skin felt really good. Now, can Jesus H. Christ give me good skin? Actually, maybe. Yeah, maybe he could. So. On to the episode. D, that's my turkey voice. Can you make it like a turkey sound? I don't know how turkeys sound like.
Oh, that's something else. That's not a turkey. That's not gobble, that's gargle.
Well, I do want to welcome our listeners to our un-Thanksgiving episode.
Stop.
I'm sorry. That's... So we are going to release this during Thanksgiving weekend, and we want to just change it up a bit. But to begin our chat, I want to ask you two, or I guess I would have to ask myself too, because I'm part of this chat. How would you reimagine the traditional Thanksgiving holiday? Like, what's the one thing that you would undo or change?
Okay, I would undo the stores being open during Thanksgiving dinner. They should not be open. People should be at home with their families or whatever it is they do with their friends or whatnot.
Three stores announced that. I know one of them is Walmart.
Target.
Which I don't really go anyway. But yeah. But
I think Target's going to be close.
They said they're going to be close. So yeah. Yeah, that is a bother too. Because I mean, some family members would go there. It's like dip out like at 7 p.m. So they can start driving to the outlet malls and everything.
You know, the tradition of like waking up early or not even sleeping and just going to the store at like 4 a.m. in the morning. In a way, that was kind of fun. Well, for some people. I thought that was fun. I only did it a couple of times.
At 4 in the morning?
Well, you have to line up. People did that. So, but, you know, that's gone because the stores were open for, like, dinner time.
How about you, Dee?
I think I changed it for everyone else who's not able to really get out of work the next day. Can we just change it into a Friday instead of a Thursday? So that way we just get like, you know, people who can't get off on a Friday. I know like some people who, you know, work a 9-to-5 and they're like, okay, well, you're off Thursday, but you're coming in Friday. I'm like, man, really? Can we just move it to a Friday instead?
I thought you usually get Thursday and Friday off.
Not everyone would.
Not everyone has that. Like, I used to work for, like, a retailer.
Yeah.
And I worked on the Friday because of the Black Friday sale. One time, I actually had to work. I had to be there at 4 a.m. because we're going to open the doors at 5. And I just went, clubbing the night before with, I think I was with Barney. I don't know. Hey, Barney. So, I think we went.
Calm out. Hey, Barney.
We went clubbing the night before, and I just stayed up. And just went to work right after. I was so tired. Things I will never do again or can never do again.
But I do like that idea. Yeah. One is, yeah. But no, I like it on a Thursday, D, because you get Friday off. So you get Thursday, Friday
you
off.
You get Friday off, the privileged ones. But then again, that's me also.
I know, me too. I know. I'm like, I'm not showing up.
Oh, D gave his wish to everyone else. Oh, that's very commendable. I like that, D. Big heart.
It is just kind of unfair, you know, how it's rotating. It's because, like, I mean, I'm looking at right now the other holidays. It's like, okay, Christmas and New Year's is on a Monday. So that means...
Well, not always, though, because sometimes they fall in the middle of the week, and it sucks.
I know. So that's why if we can this one is, like, always on that day. Can we just move it to a Friday just so everyone gets to enjoy it?
But then, why is it on a Thursday anyway?
I know that. I don't know.
I like it on a Thursday because you get 2 days off.
Yeah, but that's how did we choose the last Thursday of the whatever? Not last.
It's probably some kind of capitalist idea. Some store was like, "Hey, if we get a Thursday off, we'll call Fridays black."
Well, that's why they call it black, because of sales. Like, you know, they make a lot of money.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah, it's like, you know, you're in the red, that means you're losing money. You're in the black, you're making money. That's why it's called Black Friday.
Oh, so they make money off of us?
Yes.
But we don't make money off of them? Oh, no. Jesus H. Christ.
Because people go shopping. People go shopping, you know, on that Friday.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. So for me, I have this, I don't like turkey. And I feel like a lot of turkeys get slaughtered this time around, like a lot of them do, and it just feels so bad. And
yeah,
and it also just tastes like turkey. Like, turkey doesn't taste good, y'all.
It's dry.
It's dry.
It is.
I don't know, but
Does it depend on who's cooking it or how they're cooking it, or it's just dry? Period.
Correct. It's just, but it also it always still tastes like turkey though. Or maybe I just not a fan of turkey.
Oh, okay, wait. Okay, I looked this up, and I don't know how accurate this is. The term Black Friday was first used by police officers in Philadelphia to describe the post-Thanksgiving shopping rush. The name was based on the sense of black, meaning marked by disaster or misfortune. Later, retailers adopted the term and gave it a more positive spin, implying that it was for the day when they started to make profit or go in the black.
Ooh, marketing.
I know the later part is accurate. The first part, I don't know if that's accurate. So if anyone knows, let us know.
Wow, that's perfect for un-Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Thank you for bringing that up. All right, so let's continue on this conversation. So, to un-Thanksgiving, what are we not thankful for? Oh, please, you know. Don't act like you don't know.
No, I'm thinking, should I go first? That's what the was. But if you insist, I'll go first. I'm usually a very positive person, right? I'm usually very thankful about, you know, things, even the little things.
Did you guys hear that? There's like a loud thunder because God was just like, someone's lying. Someone's lying.
You gonna insert the thunder lightning
it's like, Henry,
sound.
I know, Henry, I'm just like... you died for nothing because someone is lying.
Henry.
Okay, I'll stick to that story. I'm usually very thankful, but you know how we spend a lot of time of our lives at work, and you know, you form relationships, you form friendships, and sometimes you even gain a lover. Not in my case, but I'm just saying other people. If you've been at a place for a very long time, you develop deep relationships, whether it be friendship or whatnot. And you think you know them, or you'd like for them to know you as a person deeper because you're with them a lot. Anyway, I'm not thankful for people who only bring negative energy into your space and who are so easy to talk shit behind your back on a very personal level. It's not even about like complaining about your work. It's complaining about you as a person. And I'm not thankful about that. So yeah, that I'm not thankful for.
Sounds like a recent experience, huh?
Yeah, fairly recent. So since you insist, I will get into it.
Please, don't let me stop you.
I was just sitting here. My hands were underneath my like butt. I was literally sitting on it. So I don't know. Were you insisting, so, Greg?
Well, okay. So I had this experience where, I found this out months ago, but I decided not to say anything because I was like, you know, the story wasn't told to me. The story was told to me. And they did not have the authority to tell me what was being said behind my back. You know, like how that works.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's been repeated again that, you know, what they were saying was, I'm favored at work because of my ethnicity. Because people in authority, okay, I'll just say it. Because my boss is also Filipino. And to me, that was so insulting because it's like, what are you, what? I work my ass off, you know? And if I am favored, which I don't think I am, but let's just say I am favored, it's because I'm not an asshole. And I'm easy to work with. And I don't have this mentality of, you know, if someone asks me for something, I'll give it to them. Because I don't interpret that as kissing ass if I work with them. I interpret that as working with them because it's my job to work with them. And when I need something, it'll be easier for me to get what I need because I have this very fluid, very good working relationship with the people around me. You know, so that was really hurtful for me because I've never been told that or that's never been said about me. And it was said to people in positions to take that the wrong way. So I feel like even my situation or my position is being may have been endangered by that by saying that. And that is so unfair because I'm not the type of person that would throw people under the bus. In fact, I have covered for people instead of just saying, well, look over there. I just said, you know what? We may have missed that. We'll work harder to prevent that from happening again. But in my mind, I'm just like, oh, I didn't do this. But, you know, I can't, you know. And, you know, you protect people from actually literally getting fired by advocating for them. But I guess that really was not enough, you know. And also for people who don't appreciate things when you do things for them because they left you hanging and you're there for 2 months doing everything. Yet when this person appears, they will tell anyone that would listen that you did nothing for them for the 2 months that you were left alone. And to me, that was like, you know what? Fuck you. I work so hard, you know? And then you tell people that? That is so not right. And that's what I'm not thankful for people who are so negative or for people who are only nice to you because they need something for you. You know, when they look at relationships as transaction, it's like I'm not thankful for that, and I feel sorry for them when they have that kind of mentality because I try not to be like that and I try not to think that way.
Most places have an HR policy against that about the character assassination, so you could actually bring them to HR.
Well,
and you should actually,
let's just put it this way. That's no longer necessary.
Oh,
and you know, I'm glad that now I have the opportunity because I thought about this and I really, I reflected on it, and I asked for advice from other people because I said, you know, look, I have the opportunity to keep the friendship going, or to just kill it completely, and I think I will just kill it. Because I don't need this person in my life. I don't need that kind of vibe. I don't need people looking at me that way as if I'm a diversity hire. You know what I mean? And that's not fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100.
So I'm just going to, I'm glad that I have the opportunity to actually cut them out of my life. So what do you think? Am I overreacting by being hurt?
No, you're not. It's actually, when it comes to like job performance, and again, like there's the HR, usually they should have HR policy against character assassinations at work for this reason. So you have every right to be upset because that's effed up. And then I'm sure like this happens a lot. Like this assumption that just because you're Filipino and your supervisor is Filipino, that there's somehow... there is some type of
favoritism, yeah.
Favoritism, just because of that, and you know, even honestly, if you even think that, you should keep that inside your head until, because that's just like, I don't know, that's just your thought. If there's no evidence to back it up, because you could get into so much trouble by saying that stuff, especially when it's not true.
Person also have said that, you know, they are being singled out because of their ethnic background, which from I tried to reflect on this also. It's like, no, that doesn't happen. If you are being singled out, it's because you're an asshole. And it's not like singled out in a way like, you know, we'll isolate them. No, it's like meaning you being called out because of your rotten attitude or something. And that does a disservice for people who actually are singled out because of their race and ethnic background or, you know, whatever else. So that does a disservice to those people. It's like, don't just throw that shit out as if, you know, whatever. That's serious stuff.
That's what I'm having a problem with your situation. It's like, that's why I prefer assholes who's just like an asshole and owns it rather than like shifting the blame. And it's like, come on, you're just now that's just laziness.
Yeah.
Like, if you're gonna be an asshole, but if you own up to it, I'd rather have that person. It's not that they're not remorseful, it's just like, well, that's who I am. Which, you know, I think we've had that situation where you'll be like, yeah, that's how you are. That's not an excuse. But at least they stand their ground that that's their action rather than they, like, kind of, like, diverting it to someone else's. Like, well, he's this. I'm like, No, you messed up because you didn't want to do it the way it should have been done. But, you know, instead you're just like, look over there.
You're right. That look over there attitude is so annoying. It's like, it's everyone else's fault but mine.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, when I make a mistake, I admit to it. In fact, my boss's boss actually said, wow, you actually admitted fault. I'm like, yeah, why wouldn't I? I was so surprised at his reaction that I admitted. I'm like, what? Of course I'm going to take responsibility. I will take accountability for my own mistakes.
Yeah.
It should not be a surprise. It's not like a thing people do. It's not something that people should do. It's like, I was surprised.
As a kid would do that, who's just like pretend there and like sit in that feeling of like, oh my God, are we going to get caught? This is so, like, that you know, who actually like rather sit in anxiousness rather than just be like, okay, well, how can we fix this and move on kind of thing? But just like, you know, owning up to it. I mean, that's what a normal adult would do, I would think, by now.
When you said, look over there, I was thinking about Jada Essence Hall from RuPaul's Drag Race. Look over there! Look over there! I love her.
Have you guys had any experience similar to this?
I think it's been a while. It's been a while since, like, I've actually not... I guess I'm a part of it as a witness where I'm just like, so are you going to say something? Because we all know you did it. like, you know, like giving them the grace of like, we'll have you confess. But then sometimes that doesn't like really, you know, like they don't step forward. And then you just walk away with like, it's just more of a disappointment rather than just like, you know, like anger or like really anything towards it. I'm just like, ugh. And it ruins that.
It ruins the trust because it's like, we know you did it. If you just like level with me as a friend, then, you know, we could move forward from this. But if they don't want to take responsibility, it's like, well, what else have they done that they hide?
Yeah, going back to your question, McCoy, has this happened to me? I don't believe so. But the reason why I know about HR and reach out to HR to handle this is because I know someone that this happened to.
Oh.
And it's quite interesting because I'll share their story. Who cares? I won't give some names or the institution that's highly regarded. I'm not going to say that, but...
Say their names.
But this is a good... This is juicy, okay. Y'all. This is juicy. Juicy like a lechon, like a crispy pata when you bite into it and all the juice comes out. That kind of juicy. But... Here's what happened to a friend of mine. So this friend is part of the diversity committee for this organization. For a number of years, was a chairperson, right? And then stepped down. And someone in the team, a white woman, was complaining about this individual, my friend. Because I think something came to the this white person was woman. We'll call her Karen.
Okay.
Because this is a very Karen thing to say. She started going around to the other colleagues and saying that my friend was saying, basically saying ill of white people. And this is reverse racism. And this person, this Karen went around to other colleagues just talking about this incident. Like, oh, you know, this person, my friend, was talking bad about white people. And this is reverse racism. And da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Well, was your friend saying this?
No, he wasn't.
Okay.
But because he's part of the diversity thing, talking about inclusivity and, you know, people of color and just the real, the truth about people of color, you know, access to, you know, resources. Now, those are what the data shows. So she took it like, oh, it's because you're saying that white people are always this and that. And so, yeah, they had to escalate it to HR. I told my friend to escalate this to HR. The supervisor also is a person of color, found out about it and was trying to tread lightly and was like, okay, you should talk to HR about this. Because, you know, talking about these stories to others that are not true is character assassination. So that's how it was dealt with. I don't know how it was dealt with. But so, yeah, you're not, it happens.
Well, how about you guys? What are you guys unthankful for?
What am I not thankful for? You know, I'm just a thankful person, but...
That was my line.
All right.
It's been
Yeah, but you know... No, no. We know that when you said, that ain't the truth, okay?
I am a thankful person.
You're saying Kevin Sam without laughing. But, all right. But, you know, I was thinking about this. What am I not thankful for? So, my family, my extended family, we actually celebrated Thanksgiving yesterday.
Why?
Because we celebrate like earlier because everyone's scheduled. During Thanksgiving, it's a mess. People are traveling, so we do it early. And we started playing. We had great food. You know, they did karaoke. Everyone sang together. It was cute. I didn't sing, you know, like, but... But we started, my cousin bought this card game, a Filipino-American card game, where you ask questions. It's a card of cards full of, it's a deck of cards full of questions. One side is English and the other side is in Tagalog. And so we had to ask the question in Tagalog. Mine, I didn't do very well. I don't know why. Shocking. But we started asking questions about just life, about, you know, what was the hardest decision you had to make and da-da-da. And which is hard to play with like, your parents because their hardest decision is, like, we had to leave our country and go to the States and start a new life. And, like, oh, crap, I don't...
It's like
comparing it's like
how
our
can
hardships,
you match
like,
that?
Yeah, I was like, oh, fuck, fine. But what I'm saying, going back to the question of not thankful for, I realize that during the holidays, it seems to be more about eating and just superficial talk with family or just watching a sports game on TV and not actually engaging and talking to your relatives and getting to know them a little bit more. So I like to like change it up. So I'm not thankful for the current kind of culture of Thanksgiving. It's just eat, and then
shop.
Get stuff, and then
go shop.
Yeah, shop, and keep it superficial, and then all right, see you next year. So I'm not thankful for that, but I am thankful for switching up and trying something new. How about you, D? Oh, wait, sorry. One more thing. Sorry. I'm also not thankful for war. How about that? There we go.
So we don't want to get too heavy. So I'll go on the lighter side, which actually might get heavy too. But I mentioned earlier, it was like, I think I've been processing it a little bit more during some downtimes. It's not depressive enough, but like, The process, it's the process of like getting old and just like learning to accept the process itself, like noticing the changes and like, well, you know, like you can't really reverse things anymore. For example, like I said, I mentioned we went to dinner and I was like, what is up with these dimly lit places where I have to turn on my watch light just to read the receipt so I can write your tip like correctly, you know what I'm saying? So like getting old is inevitable. Like, everyone goes through that. I am hoping that is the key and I'm just not left out, you know, like when the passes were given. But, the last couple of maybe 2 months for, you know, Amara and I had to go through a lot of change. You know, we lost like a 17-year-old dog. And it's like, it's that process, like, you know, it sucked that we went through a loss, but at the same time, we realized that like we were being selfish if we wanted to hold on to it more, because it was really more for our gain. But sometimes you just want to be selfish. But then that realization is like, no, it's a process of everything we're going through. But, to bring it up to the light side, it's like as much as work that you put in yourself, it really is like you find it like there's always going to be a barrier or like a wall that you would hit. And it's like, now I've hit this wall before. But my last course of action got me out of it, but I'm here again. So what is something different I can do this time so I'm not going to end up in the same space? So I, like, that's what I'm kind of been, like, going over in the last couple of months. Like, I was doing therapy before. I stopped that because, first of all, it's fucking expensive if it's not covered by your insurance. And I've been kind of like thinking about it, like, okay, I hit a wall again recently. Like, how do I get myself like back into that situation? I know I just can't do things on my own. I can't like keep on reading up books and like, you know, like analyzing things that I'm going through on my own without the help of someone who can really guide me and like really point out, like, from an outside perspective, like, hey, this is what you're doing. Like, it's not that you're doing it wrong, but maybe that course of action or that that path that you're taking is not different from what you did before. You're just kind of blinded by situations right now because you're not focused. So that's what I'm kind of like doing. It's like it's heavy, but it's like endless things that just keeps on happening. And sometimes if you're not in the right space, headspace, you're just like, you just feel like you're stuck, you know? So like, I wish we were really given the tools as a kid, you know, like school, either whether it be school or like growing up, you know, with your parents or like responsible adults, adults responsible for us. Like, we were given the tools, like, hey, this is the reality of what you're going to go through. And I'm glad that the people that I'm around with now who are parents, I actually see them do that. Like, just walk it off kind of thing. It's like, oh, no, it's because of this, and this is why it's happening. Like, you guys met Amado's cousins too, Kevin and Pat. She listens. So remember, she was gushing over when she met you guys. They lost their year and a half Frenchie.
No way, what?
Yes. He passed away because he had cancer. Oh. And the process, like, she was just telling me the process of explaining it to my godson, Gavin, who's like barely like 3 years old, the process of death. And like, to me, I'm like, how do I even tackle that, you know? And it was really refreshing, like when she told me about like how she explained everything, like not sugarcoat it. I was like, oh, he just went here, he'll be back, and just keep on making excuses. That's not the course that she did. She was straight, she was honest, but then it's not like brutal where he took it and like questioned about everything else. He understood it. She allowed him to be sad. And like now a kid knows how to process sadness, that it's not a negative thing, you know? So like, I'm like, I wish we were all given that, like, those the right tools. So that way we're now walking around and not like having to pay hundreds of dollars to talk to someone else about our problems.
No, it's so true. You reminded me when I was young, when my Lola passed away, my mom and everyone in the family went to the mortuary, and I was late. And my uncle picked me up, and I had to get dressed. I was like, okay, I had to dress myself. Yeah. Now I think I was like second grade or third grade that had to dress myself. So I was like, all right. And I was told that when someone dies, they're with God and it's the greatest thing in the world and da da da. So I said, okay, well, what do you dress when someone passes away and your Lola passes away and she's with God and it's the greatest experience in the world?
Rainbow.
I wore a yellow shirt, bright blue pants, bright like sneakers. I was like going to a party. And so my uncle sees me, goes, okay, and then like, we go. I go into the mortuary and the funeral home, and everyone's in black.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, what happened? And my mom was so pissed. She made my uncle take me back home to change. But it was so confusing because you told me that death is a good thing and that you mourn it and it's a happy thing. But then everyone's sad. And as a child, it was like, I don't know. And so for the longest time that you're saying, D, I thought, I've always saw people who, when they pass away, oh, they're on vacation.
Yeah.
And never actually deal with the sadness or grief or the process of grieving for them properly and very healthy. Never did that until like, I don't know, last year? I don't know.
But see, Greg, at least you had a conversation. When my Lola passed away, there was no conversation.
What do you mean, no conversation? It was like, they didn't say like she died, like she didn't die?
Well, they just said, okay, he's dead, but that's it. You know he's dead because it's like in the casket. And there was no conversation about like what's happening, why this happened, nothing. You know,
no, I didn't get that either.
No, it's a party or whatever.
They just said, oh, they didn't even tell you like nothing. Anything.
Nothing.
Like,
the concept. Like,
there's a heaven.
As if, you know, your opinion or your sense of understanding doesn't matter. You were just there at the funeral for like a whole week.
And you're like, wait, what?
Well, I knew.
They don't explain it, right? No. They never explain. This is what kind of talk about like.
What's traumatizing for me though? Because my Lola was, we got to the house. It took us a while to get there because it happened in the countryside. And my aunt was wailing and wailing over his dead body. And of course they brought me in. I'm just like, what is going on? And there was no conversation. So in a way, that was like very traumatizing.
Yeah, well, I was going to say about how Filipinos do not communicate or talk like openly about death or about grieving.
Well, I think this generation, this new generation of parents have a better grasp on like how to handle things.
Because they don't want to do what how we were brought up.
They don't want to repeat the trauma.
Not work.
Yeah, they're trying to break that generational trauma kind of thing. Which I'm glad.
And it's like a lot of work to do that. That's why Amara and I, until now, when people are like, you know, some of our friends are like having kids now. I'm like, aren't you guys having kids? I'm like, I'm still trying to like get over things that I've gone through. And for me to insert and try to correct the course for someone else, it's like, I cannot handle that right now. You know, that's a lot of work and a lot of willpower to want to change or like to give someone else the best while knowing that you've never been given that opportunity to do that until you realize that yourself, you know. So it's like I love when I hear people like our generation now hear their parenting skills, things that they answer, you know, to kids' questions that like I wouldn't know if how to explain same-sex marriage to a kid that like that will not scar them, I guess, in a way that they're
well, it's actually a lot easier to explain to a kid than
yeah,
to a
right. But like all our interactions have been that kind of like a wall and like the protest where it's like no, you it is like you're wrong. So I like I have that like fear, but I enjoy whenever I hear yeah these parents now who's like oh yeah this is what I told them. I'm like, huh, it's that simple. Why couldn't I do that for myself? You know.
I think because we're always in that sense of fighting for our rights kind of thing, and we got stuck there.
Yeah, it's like the always like that panic mode where you're like looking, you know, which direction is the arrow gonna come from? So we're always like kind of just on guard.
Wait, arrow? What do you mean arrow?
You get shot with an arrow.
Or what is it like a knife? Like to be stabbed? Like. There's a
no because you're thinking of like the arrow, like the direction of the arrow, yeah. Which direction to go. Oh, like, but you're like, saying it's like a.
I didn't want to say like.
No, I was thinking like you know how like gay people when they walk around the street and the people are like you faggot they throw you like a bottle of water at you or like trash at you. I was thinking like that. I got that, but not an arrow.
Which is so weird.
I got an arrow in my butt, but whatever. Just kidding.
I mean, like, okay, this is a small circle, but, like, I can guarantee all three of us have gotten that. Like, just, like, a drive-by, like, fag. And I'm like, what the fuck?
You know, it's like, walk like a man.
I got that in West Hollywood, like, too.
I got that West Hollywood, of all places. But I also got what's walking down the street with my lesbian friend. I was like, wait. Are you talking about you or me? Because you're the dyke, I'm the fag. So walk like a man. Is it you or me? Because you look like a man.
See, you got that on WeHo, so it kind of makes sense. Because then they're like taking the chance, like, okay, this is a higher chance that someone will be gay while like, we're driving around, throwing slurs. But Amato and I got that when we used to live in Manhattan Beach, walking our dogs. And, like, we just looked at each other like, oh, my God, like, are we just really, really gay and obvious? Or is our dogs, like, a dead giveaway because they're, like, fluffy and, like, a Shih Tzu and a Pomeranian? Like, what is it that, you know, just, like, made them say that, like, at a stop sign and then, like, speed off?
Well, maybe, D, you and Amato were making out, tonguing each other on the tongue. How do they know that we're gay?
That's the thing, you know, that's right. So we were questioning ourselves and we're like, oh my God, are we that obvious? Like, what's happening?
No, I was thinking about, I was recently in West Hollywood for an event for that Slave Model Management. They had an event and at Rage, the old Rage, which is now called Heart WeHo. Yeah. Heart WeHo. And I was like, okay. But I remember back when I was younger when I went to West Hollywood, and it was very common for people to slow down their cars and yell faggot a lot, right? But I do always remember seeing other gays be like, fuck you, come out of your car. And they're trying to like, they cuss them out, which is always kind of empowering to see other gays be like, fuck you. How do I wrap this up? Because it's like an un-Thanksgiving, but now how do you do Thanksgiving? Or,
I mean, with everything, with like, you know, the scenarios that the three of us gave, I mean, yes, we're unthankful for the process that like how we got, you know, how it started. But I'm pretty sure all the three of us are walking away with like, it's easier to have gone, like, it's shitty that we have gone through it, but in a way, walking away from it, it's like we're happy that it actually happened, because then we know better. For McCoy, I would assume that you're just like, well, okay, now I learned that's how you are. I don't have to invest my energy in you. Thank you.
Yes, exactly. Yes, yes. Yeah. Right. That's why I'm kind of, it's like a change of mindset. Like I was really hurt and I'm still hurt. But I had to switch it around because I was asking people, like, should I keep the relationship, this friendship going? You know, I don't know. And they said, it's really up to you. Only you can answer that. But they have revealed their true selves. And I was like, okay, okay, I get it. So, yeah.
And even like you, Greg, Amaro, and I actually went through something like that before where we were like being forced, like always questioned, like, why aren't you guys showing up to these like family events anymore? And we told them, like, well, we want it more intimate, because then when we're sitting there, you guys are pitting us against each other. And it's like, can we just go with people that
wait,
we
want? You and Amado?
Oh, like,
Or you and other people, like other cousins and stuff.
Yeah, you know, that like comparing and everything, where it's like, yes. We'd rather just like really like go with a smaller circle and really enjoy each other and to be able to sit down and catch up without like distractions. So, you know, we've been doing that more and more. And I mean, yeah, we hear it all the time. Like, why aren't you guys here? Like, do you guys really want us there to celebrate us? Or is it like you're just questioning and then it's going to be like a sit down interview once we do show up? So the fact that you're trying to change it, like, okay, well, how do you have more meaningful conversations every time you guys get together? It's like, that's now your goal. But yeah, you can't top your parents like giving up their life for you moving to a place where they're like, like, well, you win. Here you go. You get the turkey.
Oppression Olympics. The parents always win.
Wait, okay. So who won the game anyway? The card game.
I know. Who wins? How do you win that game?
And what's the price?
Well, it's not about winning, y'all. It's about
starting a conversation.
Yeah, that's what it was about.
No, that's not a game. Like, I'd rather play Mahjong where someone walks away with $20 at the end of the day.
Well, we were playing Suka. Suka?
Suka. Suka. Songha. Wait.
Songha.
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 Songha. Songha.
That's fun.
We were playing that earlier. Yeah. My mom was upset because she let my nephew beat her.
Oh, the whole
And she was like, yeah, she was like, let's go home. She was like... And I'm like, no, let's play this little conversation game, which is in the game.
That's fun.
Cards, yeah. Yeah, I actually never played it because every time I would play it, like all like the shells were missing.
So you have never played it?
I've never played it because I've had the.
Do you still have it?
The wood stuff. I don't know if I do. I have to buy a new one. When I go to the Philippines again, I'm going to get one.
Yes, let's play it. It's fun. But some people say it's bad luck because it's like digging for your grave. That's the action of digging for your grave. I'm just like, really?
Oh, okay. See? Like, here we go again.
Ay, camote. Ay, ay, ay. Well, oh my gosh. That's every time the game, a person's turn was over, my mom would be like, batay! I'm like, what? Then she was done. She was like, she can't move anymore. Patay! And then when my nephew was done, she'd go, patay! And I'm like, so I just sat there and just kept on yelling, patay! When their turn was over.
Like dead. Yeah.
Yeah, dead. So maybe that's what she was talking about when digging the grave. Patay!
I don't know. I guess?
I guess it's just my Filipino mom. Who knows? Hey, McCoy, what's the Filipino word of the day?
The Filipino word of the day is actually not Tagalog. It's actually Ilonggo.
Oh, mixing it up on us.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Ilonggo word of the day is salamat gid, which means...
Salamat gid.
Yes. Hopefully I'm pronouncing the second part right. And it means thank you very much.
Sorry, wait. This is our Thanksgiving episode.
Well, yeah. But let me finish.
So is it like unsalamat gid?
No, actually. It's actually a thankful kind of thing.
Well, what's gid?
Oh, okay.
I think it emphasizes it instead of just saying salamat. Like, you know, in Cebuano, you say daghang salamat, I think is what they say.
Okay.
It's like, you know, like many thanks or something like that. Like in Tagalog, it's maraming salamat, which literally translates to many thanks. So, yeah, it means thank you very much. And I will now use it in a sentence. So, salamat gid that sometimes we get the opportunity to change things that make us feel unthankful.
Oh, I see what you did there. Yes. I see what you did there.
Actually, I had to change that. That was very personal earlier. I'm like, let's not make it too personal, so I had to change it. You know when your emotions rule you sometimes, and then when you get a minute, you're like, that doesn't sound nice.
Well, that's our show. If you like to leave a comment or have a question for us, or just want to slip into our DMs, you can by
on social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Threads, and Twitter. It will forever be Twitter.
Not when you're browsing for porn, though. It's X. On your alt.com. It's X.
Oh, yeah. If someone ever finds my account, the alt account, they'll be like, who is it following?
Okay, and you guys can email us your questions to gamchatpodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Gid, thanks. You know why? For some reason, Gid, I feel like it's a name. You know, like the Filipino name. It's like, yeah. It's like a nickname of something.
We're also part of Bunk Collective, a group of Filipino content creators. Visit the website at thebunkph.com. And we'll catch you on the next one.
Oh my god. It's not a turkey.
That's like a video you were watching earlier.
Oh, that too. When they get overzealous with their action. Yeah.
Well, on that note, gobble gobble.